Thank you, Gerald and Joyce and family for that. That was kind of sprung on them yesterday morning at the last minute, and they stepped up to the plate and did it. So thank you very much for that. This morning, if I can get my stuff together here. When you start depending on electronics, it's not quite as quick as paper, so we want to celebrate this morning. And as I was sitting there thinking, how many of you remember the date that you were baptized? Couple. Does that make a difference? No, God remembers. God knows. And I was thinking of my own baptism, and I don't remember. And I was thinking about this message I'm getting ready to preach. And I know five young people that probably in 2 weeks won't remember a word I said hardly. But it's okay. There's things that we do to remind us. There are things that we do that are constantly for our own reminders, and to remind not only these young people, but you and I, of the commitment that we have made. Today, as a church, this is a celebration. We have five young people who have made the decision this morning. They didn't just accept the Lord this morning. They've made this decision some time ago, but this morning they've made the decision to acknowledge that to the world, to the church. It's an exciting day for us, as well as Morgan, Sabrina, Josh, Jason, and Brock. And the confirmation that they have decided to follow through with. Today, it is a very important day to you young people. This is a day that I would tell you to write it down. Not so much that it will make a difference to God, but it's a day that you will be able to go back to and say, you know what, this is the day that I made a decision to follow through. To you young people this morning, I'm going to be mostly talking to you this morning, and I'm going to let the others listen in because I do believe these are good reminders. And as I studied this, as I put this together and just prayed about what God wanted me to share, there were some very good reminders for me as well. For all of you young people, you were born and raised in a Christian home. That didn't give you an advantage. Well, yes, it did, but it didn't. I mean, that was, there I go. I'm using, what is it? It's an oxymoron. Is that right? It gave you an advantage in that you have been taught ever since you were a little child about Jesus. But it still came down to you making this choice and this decision to place your trust in Christ. The New Testament teaches us plainly that we are saved by faith. In Acts 16, verse 3, it says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God." Galatians 3 verse 26 tells us that you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. These verses all remind us that faith is an act of the heart, and it comes from the springs of our emotions and will. I want to ask the question this morning, who here can say that you understand faith? Who here can say that most of the time you don't understand faith? No, we don't. We know what faith is, but we don't know what faith is. Faith is accepting what we know as fact. I don't really want to test the fact that gravity works because I might break something in testing it. So I accept it. There are things in our lives that we do that same thing as believers. We accept it because the Bible says it. No, we don't understand. I don't understand how it is that when I voice that acceptance to Jesus and say, Jesus, I believe, I accept this gift. I don't understand that, how God reaches in and takes that sin and says, it's over, it's past. I don't want to hear it anymore. It's gone. I don't understand that, but I am very willing to accept it because I know what it did for me. I know the peace and the assurance that it has given me. This morning, this celebration is a celebration of a transition from death to life, from darkness to light, hopelessness to hopefulness, from slavery and sin to slavery to God. It is not merely a matter of ideas or emotions. Faith based on emotions will not hold out. Faith based on fact will. And at the same time, this faith not only calls for faith in my heart, but it calls for faith on the confession of my lips. In Romans 10:9, Paul says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. This morning, baptism. This baptism. You young people, this is a public expression of your faith. In Jesus' final words to His disciples, He said this, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." You know, something I found interesting as I studied this is that in the original Greek, there was not a word for baptize. And that when they started translating the Scriptures, they actually had to come up with a word for baptized, because in the heathen tradition there was no such word. And so this was a brand new thing. As when Jesus said, go and baptize, they didn't really understand what that meant. They knew what had happened. They knew that John had baptized Jesus. This was a brand new thing. Even though the Old Testament was full of examples of washing and cleansing and ceremonial baptisms, if you will. And Peter, in Acts 2, concludes his first sermon with these words, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of sins." Again, I don't know that I can say it enough. Baptism is a symbol of faith. It is an expression of your acceptance of Christ's lordship. It is also a pledge before the church, this group of people today, of your covenant to walk with God. The step you're taking today is a sign to everyone that in the words of Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. You've heard the message. You've believed it. Without faith, it is impossible to believe to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. That you've repented Luke 13:3. I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Those are Jesus' words. And this morning we come to this point where you have confessed Christ as your Lord. In Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33, Jesus said, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven." Today, you are announcing publicly your allegiance to Christ and His church. Here are some things for you to remember in the days ahead as you grow in your relationship with Christ. This decision is the most important decision you will ever make. Today, you have chosen to seal that decision with this public confession. Never, ever forget that you are saved by faith, not your feelings. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, Paul says, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. This not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. He also says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, we live by faith, not by sight. When you experience doubt, remember this, Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This morning, you are publicly confessing that. Don't ever forget that. Satan will bring doubts into your minds. And I believe that everyone here would confirm that, because all of us, Satan's desire is to destroy us. But this morning I want you to remember those two verses. You have confessed Jesus with your mouth. And remind Satan of that when he tries to bring doubts into your mind. You are a new creation. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own." 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." As with any decision or relationship, you have some things to do to ensure that you grow as a Christian. Number one that I would tell you is never quit. In life, we get tired sometimes, and sometimes we just want to quit. But you must understand that while you can do nothing to deserve this relationship, you hold in your hands the responsibility to pursue this relationship with Christ. The Bible says that Christ will someday present you before God holy and unblemished. Colossians 1:23, Paul says, "If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant." Another responsibility that you have, and this morning you will become a member of this church through this decision. Hebrews 10, verse 25 says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Always. My encouragement to you is always be a part of a church and support it regularly for a couple of reasons. Number one is God did not create us to be alone. He created us to fellowship. When you attend church, your faith will be made stronger by the teaching of God's Word. You will be encouraged by the fellowship of other believers, as well as be able to be an encouragement to others. A couple of years ago, our family we've done it twice now, camped at Tallulah Gorge over close to Helen, Georgia. And it's said to be the Grand Canyon of the Southeast. And it is a very, very, it's a narrow gorge, but it's very deep. And there's a point where you can go down to the bottom of the steps, and when you get to the bottom of those steps, there's a ranger that's parked there all the time if that gate is unlocked. And for you to get past that gate, you actually have to have a National Forest Service permit. And if you've hung around our family, it won't take you long to figure out we're going to get a permit. And we did. And we had to go. We actually had to be at the office at a certain time. They only give so many permits a day out. And they told us when we went in, you had to take a 15-minute class and instructions. And the main part of their instructions were, if you get down in the bottom of the gorge and it rains, we're not coming after you. You're stuck. That was number one. Number two was, don't get in the water, period. Well, we're thinking, no, they're crazy. Well, we get to the bottom of the steps, and the first thing we discover is that there's about a 100-foot river at the bottom of a very high falls that we have to cross. And there's stones there, but these stones are wet because of the water that's splashing all over them. And what we discovered is that we couldn't cross those stones without some help. And so there we were, and there was, of course, there's two photographers in the family, so there's plenty of pictures to prove this. But we built a chain across that river. And I think Samuel was actually he was right at a year old the first time we went. And Samuel even went down there. He claims he remembers it, but I think maybe he was so scared he remembers it. But there were times when we literally, on the side of a rock, had to form a chain to make it. And it wasn't long. Here come a ranger. He come flying past us, and we thought, oh boy, we've messed up this time. And he said, no. He said, it's not you. There's somebody down there sitting on the edge of the falls. And after he took care of them, he came on down. So we asked him, we said, how did you know those people were on the edge of the falls? Because we weren't sure they were real serious about not getting in the water, but we found out very quickly that those people had to leave. They couldn't even finish the hike. They had to go back out because they had violated the rules. So we asked him, we said, how did you know they were sitting on the edge of the falls? He said, look right up there. And up on the rim of the canyon, about 500 feet up, we could barely see. There was a ranger behind a fence with the binoculars watching. He could see the whole trail. And he said, I can be down here in 4 minutes flat. He said, I've done it day after day after day. To be a part of a church, to be a part of a body, to be a part of a family. I've just given you a couple different pictures there of what it means to be a part of a family, to be a part of a group that can help you make it across those wide rivers, across the bottom of those falls, across the top of those falls where it's dangerous. Where we start questioning God, where we start questioning Scripture. That's when it's important that we're not alone. Because when we're alone, we will make mistakes. We will fall. We'll slip into the water. And we may not come out of it and survive it. The next one is spend time in prayer. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says pray continually. And I believe that that doesn't mean you need to be on your knees all the time praying, but it means to be in a spirit of prayer. Be in a spirit where you hear from God constantly. Every day. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. Read your Bible. Study. David said in Psalms 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. God's word will give you direction for each day as you read and study, and it will be a lamp to your feet. And the last one is tell others about this decision as well as help others. As you share your faith verbally as well as helping those in need, you establish a testimony of your faith. Know We don't do it to be seen. And I thought of it this morning as Delon was sharing what he was sharing. There's two things in what he shared. Number one, he didn't do it to be seen. And number two, he didn't share it to brag about it. Right, Delon? You just thought about what God did to you when you did that and how it spoke to you. And those things are important. We will be encouraged when we give of ourselves to others. Matthew 10, verse 32, Jesus said, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven." As well as James 1, verse 27, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." To you young people this morning, again, this is an exciting day for you. It's an exciting day for your parents. And for some of you, your grandparents were able to be here, and that's exciting as well. It's exciting for us as a church, this day, September 28th, 2014. You're driving a stake in the ground for you to remember. When you face hard times in your life, you can turn and face Satan and say as John does in 1 John 5:13, or as Paul does in 2 Timothy 1:12. 1 John 5:13, Paul says, you can know that you are saved. And by placing this stake in the ground, you are giving yourself a way to remind Satan of that. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, Paul says, "That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day." This morning, you are entrusting God with your life. And I just want to encourage you to continue that. Roland, do you have a chorus? Okay. Why don't we stand? And I'm going to ask the applicants as well as Miss Francis to move to the front while we're singing this chorus.